Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Life has been relaxed today. I've been spending a lot of time in family and just chilling. Not much happening in the world. I will be reviewing a couple of news items, but it's kind of slow. But I mean, it's always like this when the summer starts, and then the big events leading to the fall start happening. So I guess it's a time of relaxation for the newsman, and I don't do much. I drink Diet Pepsi all day. I've been watching some Sarah Connor's Chronicles with Mama JF, and that's pretty much what my day is made of. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Guy from V says, good evening, JF of the regular show and chat of the regular chat. The U.S. Supreme Court is wrong to disregard evidence on the harm of banning abortion. It's an interesting article from Nature.com in which you can see the framing of the left, and how when you start ignoring the framing of the left and having your moral pillar as a right winger, they don't have much things to say against it, because here's where the title lies in terms of laying out the framework. The U.S. Supreme Court is wrong to disregard evidence on the harm of banning abortion. But to already frame this as a matter of harm is to demand a leftist axiom to be accepted. Because if you accept the definition of life that the right-wingers have, anyways, you're ultimately harming the baby. You are killing a life. That's the ultimate harm you can do to a life. And yet we know that when the leftists use the word harm in that context, it doesn't mean what the right-wingers are talking about. They're talking about the societal harm. They're talking about the technicalities of their ways of recording how a human society should be and whether it is operating correctly in their moral priors. 50 years of research shows that abortion access is crucial for healthcare and important for equality. Again, you can revert these two arguments easily. The healthcare of who? Certainly not the healthcare of the baby. Certainly not the healthcare, and certainly not the equality for the baby. Fractalman says, market crash, U.S. involvement in destruction of Russian warship. Yes, those are two events. We have... There are people at NBC confirming that the U.S. was giving intelligence to help Ukraine hit the Moskva warship. yes, and market crash indeed is happening also. I'm keeping my Bitcoin. I'm going to just keep my Bitcoin for years till... because I'm not satisfied. If that was the end of the bull run, I'm not satisfied with this bull run. I was aiming for something unbelievable, like 15x, 20x, and at the peak, I was maybe at 10x or something like this. I'm going to wait for brighter days, because I know there are big promises for Bitcoin, and I don't see it crashing in the future long term, so I have no reasons to exit the markets. I've decided that I had a set target, and if Bitcoin doesn't reach this target, I'm not selling. I'm keeping my Bitcoins. Abortion could soon cease to be legal across the United States, blah, blah, blah. If the draft represents the court's final opinion, it will fly in the face of an overwhelming body of evidence from economists and reproductive and public health researchers who point to the dire, immediate, and unequal impact this ruling will have on hundreds of thousands of people. Again, they're trying to frame this as this ruling. So this ruling will have unequal impact. But the job of the Constitution is not to ensure that the rulings have equal impact or non-discriminate impact. It's that the laws don't have discriminate impacts, and don't end up in people being deprived of their rights while being physical persons on the territory of the U.S., as the 14th Amendment phrases it. So to phrase it as, oh, this ruling will have an impact, well, let's first look at the law. Does the law provide unequal protection? Yes, it does, because the law allows a parent, the mother parent, to kill a child, and it doesn't allow the child to kill the mother. And as long as you have this basic unequal aspect to these laws, there is a conflict of interest to be resolved. And the Republican states have decided to resolve it in a different direction than the Democrat states. Guy from V says, Jeff, you can get the 26.5 LBC tip, brother, man. Hopefully that's where it was supposed to go. Okay, well, thank you. I just don't have a means right now. I guess I could search in my history of transactions and see if you send them to me, but I don't care. Thank you for trying, and thanks for supporting the show. I do have the list of transactions here. It's just, I think I would have to scroll down to find your name and everything. Charles says, qualifications are irrelevant, as the White House named Karine Pierre the first gay black trans woman, black woman press secretary. She states her race, gender, and sexual orientation are first in her identity. Okay. I mean, this is how it's going to be under a Democrat administration. Hopefully the 2022 midterms can be positive for the Republicans, and hopefully then we could have maybe a Republican president in 2024, but even then, it's not going to be amazing. Whatever happens at the federal government, one learns to be to expect disappointment from them. The draft written by Justice Samuel Alito on behalf of the majority of the 9-member court declares a stunning end to the precedent set by a decision in the 1973 case Roe v. Wade, in which the court rules that abortion rights were protected by the U.S. Constitution. The Mississippi legislature was emboldened by the latest composition of the Supreme Court when the court agreed to hear this case, and now they say how the court was overtaken, including by Amy Coney Barrett, who vowed in 2006 to end the barbaric legacy of Roe v. Wade. This was before she replaced the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had fought to protect abortion rights. Caitlin Myers, an economist at Middlebury Colleges in Vermont, estimates that abortion bans in these 25 states will close so many clinics that roughly 18 million women of childbearing age will end up more than 200 miles from an abortion provider. The Supreme Court might deviate from the leaked draft, which is due to be published in the next 2 months. Even so, analysts expect the ruling to curtail abortion significantly, putting the United States out of line with an overall global trend. Yeah, so be it. The world is going to crap, so it's not a bad thing to go in an opposite direction than the rest of the world. Empirical evidence. And this is where the trust the science starts. And whenever you trust the science, never forget that there will not be a single scientist who will ever do a study about how much harm, what is the economic cost of all those babies lost? What is the amount of human suffering induced by all of these women who could have had children and who were led opposite to their instinct, were led by society to take a different route? How much self-worth would they feel more had they had their babies? Diceberg says, no stream server error for me. For most people, it seems to be working, so just refresh your page. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the Super Chat feature of Odyssey. Odyssey is my favorite platform for Super Chats, and it's the dollar button right below the regular chat. Or as an alternative, you can join us on Entropy, and send free questions and super chats to support the show. The link to Entropy is right below the video. Oh, and by the way, yesterday was amazing with Augustus Sol Invictus. If you haven't watched the show, go back to watch it. It was a great interview with a friend who's who's always speaking extremely cleanly, has a very good mic. It's great to speak with Augustus. Empirical evidence. You know, the same empirical evidence that was saying that the J&J vaccine was absolutely safe, and now it's saying, well, you know, just take it if you're really in a bad position. Just take it if you can't take the others. Empirical evidence. Some outcomes of outlawing abortion can be predicted by what's known. Researchers expect overall infant and maternal health to decline in the United States in the wake of abortion bans. Again, depends on your framing. Sure, if you kill off children before they can make it to the point of getting a medical professional to look at them, if you cut out their limbs and twist them and pack them in an aspirator and pump them out of the uterus, of course you're going to observe, oh my God, there's an increase in the health of mothers and children. That's because you've killed the children that could have made it into a world, perhaps not perfectly, but you killed them. So what is the state? How do I value the existence of a child who lives in poverty versus the non-existence at all of this child? It seems to me that it's totally reasonable to expect a law to protect existent first, and then let's care about the conditions of life and poverty and everything. Unintended pregnancies are associated with an increased risk of health problems for babies, and often for mothers, for several reasons, including reduced prenatal care. Okay, but the person who wrote this, it's absolutely certain that they wouldn't exist if it wasn't of unintended pregnancies. The reason he exists, the reason you guys exist on the regular chat, the reason I exist, is that there's a chain of women in our past as great-great-grandmothers who had unintended pregnancies, which led to our existence. Maternal health is also expected to decline overall. One straightforward reason is that the risk of dying from pregnancy-related cause are much greater than the risks of dying because of a legal abortion. A predicted rise in maternal mortality among Black women in the United States is particularly distressing, because the rate is already unacceptably high. In one study, sociologist Amanda Stevenson at the University of Colorado Boulder modeled a hypothetical situation in which abortions are banned throughout the US and found that the lifetime risk of dying from pregnancy-related causes for non-Hispanic Black women would rise from 1 in 1,300 to 1 in 1,000. So basically, you are telling me that I should care about saving that one woman out of 1,300 instead of saving the 999 babies who you're killing, who could have existed, but we should care about that one woman instead of the 999 babies that you killed. One claim made by abortion opponents in this case is that abortion no longer benefits women and even causes them harm, but dozens of studies contradict this. In just one, health economist Sarah Miller at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor and her colleagues assessed around 560 women of comparable age and financial standing who sought abortions. They found that 5 years after pregnancy, women who were denied the procedure had experienced a substantial increase in debt, bankruptcies, evictions, and other dire financial events, whereas the financial standing of women who had received an abortion had remained stable or improved. A primary reason that women give for wanting an abortion is an inability to afford to raise the child. And this study suggests that they understand their own situation. So of course, the woman who get denied an abortion, what happens with her? She has a baby. So of course, she is more likely to be in debt. Of course, she may be working less. But you have two human beings who can experience existence rather than one. What they don't say, of course, in this paragraph is that there's a baby there. In those cases of those very healthy women after abortion, there's a baby that's missing in the picture. Abortion bans will extract an unequal toll on society. Some 75% of women who choose to have abortions in a low-income bracket and nearly 60% already have children, according to one court brief submitted ahead of the December hearing and signed by more than 150 economists. Traveling across state lines to receive care will be particularly difficult for people who do not have the funds for flights or the ability to take time off work, or who struggle to find childcare. Here's one piece of evidence that this whole article ignores. Women who have children are the most happy by any standard of measure you'd like to take it compared to women who don't have children. They will lead happier lives. They will report more satisfaction with their life. They will report more happiness about their lives. And so you can play with, well, but they're more in poverty. Yeah, but they enjoy life better. I mean, you could throw money at them and it wouldn't fix it. But throw a baby or two and they will be happy. Nowhere is this mentioned in this entire article. So is it possible that those poor women who can't travel from state to state, that there will be a positive effect on their happiness, even if it's to send them in more poverty? We cannot weigh the existence of a child with money like this or with capacity to travel. It's absolutely ridiculous. And even if you were to want to measure it in terms of unit of happiness, you would still be faced with the fact that women who have children report happiness and women who remain married report the highest amount of happiness of all other categories of women. Firestarter says, this feels like they are saying poor people shouldn't have children, preparing laws on reproductive restrictions. I mean, there's always been this creepy association between feminism, abortion, and eugenics. And you know, I'm against eugenics personally, but I'm not dismissing the eugenics position as automatically invalid and not worthy of discussion. But I think it's bad eugenics, what we're doing. When we promote abortion and we mix up children in public schools where they hear about it, and young girls are exposed to friends who get an abortion, you know, very young. And we end up promoting abortion in stratas of society that I wouldn't promote it. Basically, I wouldn't promote it at all because I feel that a human being is not the right person to decide for other human beings what is the right way to promote abortion and who should not live. Fractal Man says, seems like a gerontocracy. The left has an obsession with saving a few of the old at the cost of many of the young. Yeah, that's one other thing. Yeah, it's true. One thing I often mention about the left is how they are horizontal rather than vertical. Nicholas Petris says F. Personally, I'm still live as far as my interface goes, and I still see myself live also. So if you are having problem with the stream, I would say just refresh. Just refresh if you are not receiving the stream. Many people are still receiving it. So I've often described the left as being horizontal in their transmission of knowledge rather than vertical. So instead of trusting the parents they trust the friends and the school entities of all kind. Basically, they are within generation transmission of memes, and they tend to revolt the across generation transmissions of meme. But you're right, that is another way to describe them. They are also trying to overturn the sense of the distribution of care and the care for harm away from children, because from the perspective of a conservative like me, I mean conservative, a kind of traditionalist and anarcho-primitivist, everything that matters is children. I would self-sacrifice that much of my well-being for helping my children just a little bit, you see. But this sense of parental service, basically parental delivery, doesn't have to be that way in nature, although it's like that 99.9% of the cases. It's always parents that have more resources. They always give it more to the children. But because of the because of the symmetry of genetics between parents and offspring, i.e., your child is as related to you as you are to your child. So there is no particular reason why parents genetically, you could very well have children care for their parents. And in a way, it's what happens in queen sterile worker systems of ants and bees. The leftists are kind of trying to revert the system and, yes, to drain away from the children. It all started with the boomers. Basically, the boomers are the first to have implemented a world that was more advantageous to them than it was to the two generations that followed them. So it's definitely not a right way to order society, and that's why we see basically almost no trace of child to parent care in nature. It's because the parent is always the most informed about the local environment. The parent is always the most equipped in resources, and is always at a stage of development that will make them better to care better for their children than the children could for themselves. Abortion bans will extract... Okay, this one I read. Unfortunately, some of the justices seem to be disregarding these data. This framing is bizarre because the justices are very clear in this opinion. It's not that much a matter of data, and it's not that much a matter of calculating harm. The entire system of the US is based on principles, and it's therefore a deontological philosophical system. It really doesn't matter, even if you were right, and I don't think you're right, because you don't quantify all of the facts. You ignore your own data in your writing. You ignore the babies you kill. You ignore their potential existence, and you ignore their potential happiness. And you ignore the potential happiness of these poor women who would at least die, maybe in poverty, but with the knowledge that they have had many babies and they would be very happy about it. But that is not even what a Supreme Court is supposed to do. A Supreme Court is supposed to apply principles. And clearly here the principles are that states should be able to control what they consider is a good balance in the law when you have a controversial case like abortion, a case in which different people have different things to win in having a different law. Charles says an ex-girlfriend had a daughter and said she had an abortion 3 years before her one kid was born, so basically her older sibling was murdered. Yes, I mean, the whole aspect of whether we use the term murder here is arbitrary, but you could definitely use the word. The license to leak, how years of attacks on the court created a by any means mentality. Beto is my blah blah blah. We need to be focusing on the legitimacy of the court itself, while CNN's chief political analyst Gloria Borger suggested that the Supreme Court justices were just a bunch of politicians in robes. I've seen this coverage from CNN in the last few days, and he's absolutely right in describing it this way. CNN has decided to adopt a positioning. The court has been discredited. The court has been discredited because of a leak that your side did. So if the court has been discredited in any way, it is through its leftist members. So kick out the leftist members and it will win back its credits. It's nonsense. The CNN is trying to cancel the Supreme Court. Cancel culture has its limits. You guys have bumped on your limits when Twitter was taken over by Elon Musk and you tried to cancel Elon Musk. It's not going to work. You're not going to cancel the Supreme Court. You tried canceling the members of the Supreme Court, like Brett Kavanaugh, Clarence Thomas. Didn't work. Roger Blows says, Jeff, you need to schedule your live streams during the off hours when the more popular live streams are offline. Well, you don't seem like a very devoted person to this live stream, so here, I'm going to ban you forever. Bye-bye, Rogers Blows. You seem to be finding more interest in other live streams. It's all good, but I don't feel the need to receive inputs from you since you are such a poor listener of this show. You find that there are other shows that are amazing at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Just go watch them. and he insults me by saying, I would recommend scheduling at 9 PST. Oh, motherfucker, I was just joking. I didn't want to ban you. But now that you suggest that my show should be at 9 PST, you think I deserve this slot competing with the porn channels on cable TV? No. I'm banning you. I was joking at first. I didn't want to ban him. But no, 9 PST? Ugh. You think I don't even deserve prime time in fucking Oregon? Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene shouldn't be disqualified over January 6th. Judge recommends. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the conspiracy theory peddling Georgia Republican, shouldn't be disqualified over her role in the January 6th insurrection, a judge said Friday in a significant legal blow to the voters and advocacy groups who tried to throw her off the ballot. So Marjorie Greene has been found not sufficiently insurrectionist. I phrased it MTG not an insurrectionist, but actually the judge is so the judge is so soft in this. He's not even saying she's not an insurrectionist. He's saying maybe there was insurrectionist activity on January 6th, but the evidence is insufficient to claim that Marjorie Taylor Greene was directly involved in the activity and that she was during her oath of office. So he's giving himself two elbows of freedom here to say, oh yeah, maybe there was some insurrectionist, but they were not directly tied to Marjorie Taylor Greene. In any case, this lawsuit has always been a ridiculous, just, it's the leftist Antifa and these organizations and legal associations trying to put as much rods as they can in the bicycle of what they consider far-right candidate, which is ridiculous for Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's been doomed to failure from the start. Charles says, I realize it's best to let others learn from their own destruction. It's up to them, so don't waste your energy on trying to change them. Nature will work itself out naturally. This is super important, what you just mentioned, because the amount of energy you can invest in trying to fix the world, it's amazing. You can spend enormous amount of energy trying to fix people who are not fixable. And at some point, you just have to let it go. Let nature go. Let nature make its decisions. After all, we are these complex creatures. And that shows that evolution has the ingredients that it needs to become as complex as it needs to survive. And at some point, you have to stop trying to help. It's so much in our nature, European people, to try to extend the hand, to try to say, oh, this person may be worth it. Maybe they'll have brighter days ahead if I help them. Most of the time, no. If you don't get direct benefit from helping someone, and I don't mean just the pleasure of helping. I mean, if you're not paid for in some way to help someone, then you are not in a good position. Fractal Man says, why? You're looking for a date? Oh, he was asking this to National Patriot, saying, is JF divorced? The question of whether I'm divorced is not relevant. The question is, how many times am I divorced? I am stuck in an infinite loop of divorce. That being said, right now I am with Mama JF and in a stable relationship. DOJ launches new Office of Environmental Justice. We'll have to be very careful with this office, because it's one office that is meant to use the force of the federal government to basically steal property from, I mean, you might call it an extrapolation, but they're basically going to try to steal property from whites, give it to blacks, and say that's because environmental justice. In some way, it's what this office is going to have to do. Look at this. The Justice Department is launching a new office which will seek to redress health risks from climate change faced by minorities and low-income people in the United States. Although violations of our environmental laws can happen anywhere, communities of color, indigenous communities, and low-income communities often bear the brunt of the harm caused by environmental crime, pollution, and climate change. So it's going to be like, oh, well, you have a pickup truck. Well, you have a pickup truck. Well, you produce that much CO2. It ends up hurting a low-income minority community here. So we're going to take some of your money and give it to them. It's going to be this all the way, and governmental programs and all that crap. It's going to be a leftist fest in there. Goob Nav says, JF banned his past wives. Yes, I have declared the ban hammer on them. Callum Hawk says, JF, I'm a fan of the stream, but you should change the time to 5 a.m. Eastern time. I've designated the rest of the day as my ice road trucker time, where I watch nothing but Discovery's hit series, Ice Road Truckers. Good one, Callum Hawk. I will take that one as a joke. And so I will not ban you. Gabby Petito's mother files new lawsuit against the estate of Brian Laundry. The lawsuit seeks wrongful death damages of $30 million. This will lead to nothing. But maybe they know. Maybe they know it will lead to nothing. The problem is Brian Laundry. I mean, this guy was... I mean... I've covered this news item. I've covered it plenty. Definitely was the victim of abuse by Gabby Petito. That was my conclusion. Now, he did kill her, as it turns out, also. And so, but the thing is, this guy was a yoga granola eater, pushing for veganism and other problems of that kind, and he was freely going around the US with whatever he had left of cash in his pocket. This is not a guy you're going to collect $30 million from his estate. So what's going to happen most likely is they're going to start this case. The Brian Laundry family will be aware that Brian Laundry had $0 in his bank account. And they're going to get, therefore, and of course the people who were the father or the mother of Brian Laundry will not put him on their testament, their will. And in the end, you're going to have $0 coming from those $30 million. It's very possible that the family of Brian Laundrie will just not participate to the legal process. So, but perhaps the mother of Gabby Petito wants to have closure and wants to have a legal document that says that he did kill Gabby Petito. Perhaps it's just for this. If it's for this, she's likely going to be successful. But there's a problem with parents of victims. They, especially when the person is has died, the criminal has died, and so they can't get a criminal trial going because the person is dead, and they want some kind of justice. They want it to be on the record that some death has happened here. Guy from V says, everything should happen at once or never. It doesn't matter. Blood and Biden says, I never really got the details on this Gabby Petito case. Can you clue me in, JF? Well, Gabby Petito had disappeared and there was a manhunt against her boyfriend. They were on YouTube. Gabby Petito was trying to start a YouTube career, was describing her boyfriend as not warm to this idea. And personally, by reviewing video of the two and their arrest and all sorts of events that had happened in the months before her death, I had concluded that Gabby Petito was an histrionic, completely insane female abuser of this guy. And they were leading a life full of granola and eating seeds and stuff of that kind. And they were just going, they were hashtag van life. They were going across the country. And on his side, it was just for meeting with nature and doing some yoga carpet positioning in the mornings and drink his crap tea. And for her, it was an occasion to be a travel blogger for a YouTube channel and a blog of hers that were just showing her life. but when you see their arrest and you see how she was physically violent to him, she was pulling sometimes the wheel drive, trying to force him to make moves with the car, and she was unable to drive herself or was at least not used to it. And she was yelling at him. She has been seen yelling at him, and that's how he describes it to the policeman, yelling at him, hitting him with a cell phone. So my suspicion is they ended up in a natural place where there was no evidence to be left, like there was no one to stop them, and they were totally in the forest. And maybe she was in another crisis of the kind that she's been repeatedly doing, and he lost his nerve and killed her. That's my conclusion. So, and yes, there was all sorts of investigation by 4chan and other YouTubers who were looking in the video archives to try to find where they were, and they ended up finding through a random encounter with a webcam where the body of Gabby Petito was, because the webcam happened to film their van on the side of the road close to the forest where she was. She had been either buried or drowned by Brian Laundrie. But Brian Laundrie, having time ahead of him, had actually the time to drive back to his home where his parents live. He had time to do some grass cutting, lawn mower, and eventually, if I remember correctly, eventually left his home, went in the forest, and ended up killing himself. So he understood probably that in the modern world, there would be no defense for him and he would end up in jail, and he decided to kill himself. Shareholders, sue Netflix. Streaming service executives are accused of lying about the company's growth. Netflix shareholders filed a lawsuit against the streaming service on Wednesday, accusing the company's management of fraud by issuing misleading guidance about subscriber growth, leading to a plunge in its stock price filed in San Francisco, the lawsuit argues that the streaming service has failed to disclose that it is losing subscribers on a net basis. Unaware of Netflix's inability to retain customers, the plaintiffs claimed to have suffered significant losses and damage. Oh, that's what will happen in a bear market. You know, the values of everything will drop and there will be people pissed off and they'll be going after the corporations. I don't care at all. And I think if you're buying Netflix thinking, oh my God, it's growing, it keeps growing, it's wonderful, you deserve being deceived. I mean, we know the kind of bullshit that these companies pull. They give ultra-low price subscription and they develop an unloyal fan base that truly don't want the service, but they feel they're kind of stuck in this cycle of month-by-month charges. And so it was written in the sky. If you've been deceived by Netflix believing that they were not losing subscribers, you were not following things very closely. So I'm not alarmed, but I'm also happy that there is some disruption within the left and within the left's media structure. So personally, I'm happy that this is all happening. People have sent me, said I should watch The Pentaveret. I said, okay, but I mean, let's be clear here. The Pentaveret is a new TV show on Netflix with Mike Myers. So Mike Myers is the one who was doing this secret agent Austin Powers. And it's one of those movies where Mike Myers plays like 8 roles. And so you have the camera. Oh, it's a Mike Myers dressed like this. And then the camera turns and, oh, it's still Mike Myers, but he's dressed in a different way to play a different character. And it's about the Alex Jones type of character, apparently, who's believing in conspiracies and he's a Canadian journalist. Something tells me it's going to suck, but I might give it a try. It's just out. Netflix, The Pentaveret. I feel that there's probably going to be some cringe leftist moral framing that basically conspiracy theories are bad. And I don't know if I want to get moralized on conspiracy theories being bad, especially not with a Mike Myers multiple character movie, okay? John Drake says, I hate Mike Myers. I used to see him in a cafe. I went all the time. Not a nice guy. Are you telling me that Mike Myers was like mean to you? And he was like, no one's going to believe you. I'm Mike Myers. This meme was with an actor, I believe, William Shatner. Is that William Shatner? Where at some point in the internet, I think it was like 10 years ago, maybe, everyone was starting Reddit posts and forum posts saying, I just saw William Shatner and he just took a banana and put it up my ass and he said, no one will believe you, I'm William Shatner. Oh no, it's Bill Murray. They were saying this about Bill Murray. We have a real life experience of the kind here, but with Mike Myers instead of Bill Murray. Just that says, Mike Myers doing an Eddie Murphy playing 8 roles in the same flick. Yeah, Eddie Murphy was doing this. If I remember correctly, Eddie Murphy was making movies where he was fat old woman. And there were multiple fat old women and it was all Eddie Murphy. Was that the guy? Shocking consumer credit numbers. Everyone is maxing out their credit card ahead of the recession. Look at this. We had a moment in which people were very low on their credit card debt, like historically low, and historically low on consumer credit in general. And it showed both on the total consumer credit and on the specifically the credit card debt. but it was just a month, like or a week. People went back to their regular behavior very quick, and we are at historically high levels of credit card debt. It took just a matter of weeks to go back to normal. So be careful with the credit card. Not a good idea to stack it too much. They're going to get us all killed. I've talked about this earlier because someone was bringing the question on the regular chat. Yes, the Biden regime helped Ukraine sink Russian ship, the Moskva, then leaked it to the warmongers and liberal media. It seems to be what has happened, according to NBC reports, although the US has officially stated that they didn't. It does seem that they did. Dave Chappelle shares new details of his Hollywood Bowl attack. Chris Rock joins him on stage. So there was Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle, and they were joking in a secret appearance at the Comedy Store. They were joking about their two attacks. So Dave Chappelle was attacked by a random man, and Chris Rock was attacked by Will Smith. And Chappelle was saying, "At least you got smacked by someone of repute. I got smacked by a homeless guy with leaves in his hair." Yeah, that was not a very high profile attack for poor Dave Chappelle, who got attacked by a random man out of nowhere from his crowd. Nationwide baby formula shortage hits shocking levels, sparking panic among parents. I've not yet seen in the stores here in Canada any sign that there was a shortage of baby formula, but sometimes things come later in Canada. If there's a shortage right now in the US, we might see a shortage in a couple of weeks or months. But I've been talking about this for months because there's been a lot of callbacks of certain baby formula that was giving bacterial diseases to children. So be careful with the formula. Choose wisely, choose quality, and stock in advance if you see good prices. It's a good idea to have a big reserve of it if you're going to continue feeding your baby with this. Joe Biden reminisces about the old days when he used to eat lunch with real segregationists. Okay, let's see what Biden reminiscing the past here.
Things have kind of changed since the days when I first got there. He's been there a couple terms. I was there. I got elected when I was 29 years old in the United States Senate from a very modest background, and I was there for 36 years before becoming vice president. We always used to fight like hell. And even back in the old days when we had real segregationists like Eastland and Thurman and all those guys. But at least we end up eating lunch together. Things have changed.
Real segregationist guys, we ended up sharing lunch together. Things have changed. You know, back in the it's funny how anachronistic Joe Biden is, because every leftist that votes for Joe Biden, like these basic far left people, the young people of today, they would just call them racist. But Joe Biden is like, yeah, you know, these real segregationists. We used to eat lunch with them. We didn't used to cancel them. I don't know what happened. Something changed. Student loan forgiveness, who pays? Well, the conclusion of the article is you pay. Of course, we're distributing free money to a cause that we call education, somehow under the belief that, well, the statistic, the data seems to indicate that it's good. We can improve people's life. It's going to be better for everyone. But of course, the data is always telling you about some state of the past. So the data is telling you maybe people who went to university 40 years ago tended to be innovators and creators in the economy. That doesn't mean that if you give free school to everyone and you you build student debt and you feed the system with artificial money, that doesn't mean that the university of the future will be creating the innovators of the future. And I'm afraid this is what we're seeing. We are in a skewed intellectual environment where basically professors are getting free money from the state, which comes in the form of student debt obligation that we know people won't have the money to pay back. And so the only people that are getting out of this deal well are the universities and the professors. They're getting paid an amount of money that they couldn't possibly have in a regular economic framework where the diplomas would be only paid for to the extent that they are worth something to people. So you've created an artificial part of the economy, and eventually it will all fall back on the taxpayer one way or another, because not everyone who takes these debt will be able to pay back. Whistleblowers, FBI suspending security clearances of employees for their First Amendment activity on January 6th. So they are saying at Gateway Pundit that the FBI agents who participated to January 6th, I thought January 6th was all about FBI agents. I didn't know there were anything else than FBI agents. But they're saying that they will be removed their security clearance, and that's an indirect way to fire them eventually, because then they say, oh, you don't have your security clearance, well, then you cannot work for the FBI. So it's a way for the left to clean out any dissent in the institutions, to make sure that the institutions are filled with leftists. And that's what the left does well. Goob Nav says, why didn't you become a professor, JF? a series of reasons. I realized that the whole system was a big fraud. Starting with, yes, a fraud of the undergrad, fraud of attracting people to domains of education that the workplace doesn't demand, that we spend years just making it look like we're preparing youth for the workplace when we're not. We're really just providing some information, and I think that the university comes with a promise that it doesn't honor, which is, yeah, you'll become a biologist. Well, no, because there's going to be no one ready to employ you, because the university is just not enough responsive to the realities of the market. And so you end up with a lot of diplomas that are just for the looks. So that's the beginning of the fraud. But then there's the fraud of science and the fraud of the peer review process, which is nothing else than a bunch of scientists networking to decide who will have success, who will be denied success. And it's done very poorly, very often by a bunch of frigid, crystallized old scientists who have no idea what the interesting directions for the future are, who are not innovators. They are just people who have absorbed a view of science when they were young and are just imposing it on the next generations. And on top of it, the big fraud of just the big fraud of employment, and how you're going to be told, oh, you're going to make $80,000 a year. You're going to make $100,000 a year. Okay. You're going to do this in Canada. You're going to pay half of it in tax. So now you're making $50,000. And then your exes are going to start collecting on it. And because it's an official check from an official university, they're going to be able to, and they're going to know where you work, and they're going to extract you down until you're basically living at the poverty level, all of it while keeping the face up and making it look like, oh yeah, I'm a university professor, I'm important. I said fuck this, and at the same time as I was having all these thoughts, I also innovated in my field by developing the theory of phenotypic revolution, which still remains one of the biggest scientific advances in, as far as I'm concerned, in the last few decades. And I thought, am I going to give this to the academia, just to beg for a place in a scientific review paper that I will give for free? Or am I going to put these thoughts in a book and sell that book and make a living out of it? And as this was developing in my head as a choice, there was the rise of YouTube and just the amount of money you could generate on YouTube at the beginning. It was unbelievable. YouTube money was good. Even if you had a channel with 5,000 views per video, you would be making a lot of money. It was unbelievable the amount of money I was making just as a small YouTuber in the beginnings, quickly making it to six figures. And that's six figures that is not the same six figures that you'll get paid at the university. It's six figures cash. It was like cash being dropped in your bank account and no ex could ever take it. So when you look at all this, and I ended up realizing that for the university life to be worth it economically for me, they would have to pay me $1 million. Simple as this. So they're not paying $1 million, so I'm not at the university anymore. And on top of it, the whole scam of human resource evil people who are just interviewing the scientist of tomorrow and deciding who's going to be hired in a department. I don't want to submit myself to that. They're going to check my Twitter account. They're going to start saying that I'm some kind of risk for them because I believe ABC. I chose freedom. So you ask, why didn't I go to the university? Well, because there was not a fucking single reason why I would choose this spat of suffering and uselessness instead of freely speaking on the internet, using the development of new technologies to reach people in different ways, make history on YouTube by bringing a style of production that never existed before. Yeah, that's why I didn't become a university professor. Fuck this shit. I'll be a university professor the day they tell me, Jeff, we're going to pay you to be a university professor and you have zero obligation toward us. We're just going to make you an honor professor. You're just going to have your face on the website of our university and we're going to give you $1 million per year for doing this. Sure, I'll say yes to this, but I won't solicit it because these interview human resource people, I'm not going to go justify myself to them. I'm not going to go beg for a job to them. It's unbelievable. Of course, they'll be worried about the image that you provide to the university. Well, if my employment relies on my image, then I'm not really a creative thinker, am I? I'm just a guy who's responding to the demand of the upcoming generation of fucking SJW leftists who don't deserve to be educated, by the way. So that's why I didn't become a university professor. Fuck this shit. Fractal Man says, prepare your equity statement if you want a university position. Oh yeah, that here's another reason among the millions that motivated me. When I was in the university, it was the start of all this crap where they would train you not to rape, train you on all sorts. You had a list of training that you had to go through every year just to keep yourself in the system. No, I'm not doing this. This is not intellectual life. It's fitting in an administrative framework. Fuck it. This is one of the saddest things I've ever seen. There's these guys who are on the run. A woman who was working as a prison guard and a prisoner, and they fell in love. And on her off time, she would actually visit him. She would visit him and at Gaines. He was having some privileges because she was bringing him food and better stuff than the other prisoners would get. Somehow this prison guard fell in love with this prisoner. And they made something to they kind of did a pass where She claimed he had to be brought to the hospital, and they ended up alone in a police car, and they just fled. They fled, and there's now a reward to find them. They haven't been found, although their vehicle in which they fled was found. So, but it's so sad. It's sad that a woman like this would feel the need to be loved and so much that she would just go full criminal in a single instant like this. Thomas Zarepzan, who is the great shaman of Odyssey, he is with us on the regular chat. He is responsible for the service quality at Odyssey and the streaming quality. He says, hope the streaming has been smoother recently. Still a few hiccups, but we're seeing some nice improvements. It's been smoother. We felt the change, definitely. But here's the last thing you need to do, Thomas, for I'm going to tell you right out the trick because I've been streaming for years. I know this stuff. There's one thing that Odyssey still doesn't do, which guarantees smooth streaming. You need to buffer. I believe that Odyssey doesn't buffer much. You guys are telling us to go zero latency on our Streamlabs setting, and on top of it, you're not buffering much in your backend. You are lacking buffering capacities. What you need to do, basically, is there needs to be a 20 seconds delay between when I say something and when the client receives it. And in that 20 seconds delay, you leave your backend streaming software to be accumulating reserves. And when you have reserve, there will be small buffering events, but people will not see them because you're always going to drain on your reserve. That's how you need to design your streaming. And I believe that by telling people who stream to go zero latency, I don't know, maybe it's a requirement of your backend now, but you need to change this. You need to buffer at 20 seconds, and that way no one will ever experience buffering. That's the big secret. I'm sure you know about these things, but I don't know what has kept Odyssey to walk away from the zero latency, because the fact is not even the big guys like YouTube, not even them can stream buffer free at zero latency. It's just there will be hiccups, and those hiccups are handled by a proper buffering strategy, which can be both at the backend level or it can even be in people's browsers. If you want to innovate, why wouldn't the browser make a buffer of 20 seconds locally? That could be just as good. But that's what needs to happen in my view. JFG Moment says, JF should be hired as an advisor. Salary can be negotiable. You want me as an advisor, but I don't know if you want my name and my picture. I have spikes around my armor. I tend to spike. Thomas Zarekab says, not everyone sets that setting, but we think it should be up to the creator also. We have a few more caching layers now that should even allow this, but we'll keep it in mind. So are you telling me, Thomas, that I can set, regular non-zero latency? I could choose that, because my impression was that when I was choosing that on Streamlabs, it was giving some trouble to Odyssey, but I tried many months ago. So perhaps with the new backend that you guys are working on, perhaps I can change it right now, and perhaps tomorrow I can make a test. I think it's the only thing left to fix. Although, yes, it could maybe just be fixed on my side. Thomas says, yep, should be able to give it a shot. All new backend. Oh, well, that's great to hear. So tomorrow, guys, I'll be streaming with a small latency setting, maybe 10, 15, 20 seconds. And I don't think people will ever experience buffering, because most people who are experiencing buffering, it was for these little shots of a couple of seconds, and then it was fixing itself. So having a official buffer of 20 seconds, that should solve the situation. Thomas says a native Android app is still in the works that should improve things. Yes, we've seen there was irregularity in the performance of the desktop platform versus the phone platforms. At times, I saw the audio was disabled on the people who were listening to us by phone, but it wasn't disabled on the people who were listening to us on the desktop. But this seems to have been worked out, so that's good. The audio problem was very annoying because I would start the show, people would receive me, but there would be zero audio for some people. So very impressive progress, Thomas. And I don't know, what are your dreams with this platform? What is the end goal here? Odyssey going forward into the future, where will it be in 10 years from now? Do you want to be the go-to platform for decentralized everyday people streaming? Can you handle it? Can you handle a load like a massive amount of people going to this platform to do small streams with maybe 5 viewers? Would it be like this? I don't know, but in any case, I've never been as encouraged and enthusiastic in the development of an alternative tech platform, and so I think you guys have great days ahead. Thomas says, take over the YouTube numbers. Well, that is a bold goal. I would like to see this, because the day you take over YouTube numbers, I don't think that YouTube is sustainable, because YouTube lives on the promise that, oh, they own the monopoly of video on the internet, and but they're not viable in their current state. They consume too much resources. They don't really generate that much income. So they live really on a promise, and if you can cut the grass under their feet and be an alt-tech platform that does things at lower resources cost for you, then you have the advantage. I mean, what has led Google to be so big in the first place? It was just a lightweight search engine, and they were able to operate it at low cost and high efficiency, and they were delivering what people wanted. And so the same game can be won on the video side by you. And it's very encouraging to see. Hopefully, we'll see some LBC crazy movements on the markets in the next halvening, maybe, or maybe SEC resolution that might impact the markets and get people excited around LBC. I think a lot of people are thinking of LBC right now as an undervalued crypto. So I think that the bold goal that you have is highly noble and respectable. Thanks for checking in, says Fractal Man. Thomas says, good points, Gubnav. There's definitely trade-offs with both approaches. Gubnav was saying, Odyssey is not decentralized. Centralization is death. Yeah, I mean, decentralized live streaming is something you want to approach you want to approach it like a crocodile a little bit, because I don't know of any final decentralized streaming solution that is openable to everyone, always works. It just doesn't exist. So perhaps some amount of the way Odyssey does centralization is actually quite minimal and quite clever. Basically, you guys are listening to me live on Odyssey, but as soon as the show ends, Odyssey uploads it as a file on the library network. And so like minutes after the show ends, you're already on the decentralized system. So I think it's a good approach to have done this. And we can dream of when everyone has fiber optics, and when you can get 10,000 Mbps servers everywhere for cheap, then streaming is not a problem for any structure, whether centralized or decentralized. But that's one thing I'd be curious to know from Thomas. What is the status of your streaming service in terms of, do you buy streaming services from Cloudflare? Do you have your own servers that just stream? How does that work? Do you have servers in a data center that are kind of, how much simultaneous listeners could you handle in principle? And how scalable are you? Is it set on hardware that you own, hardware that you rent? Those are the things that I'd be most curious about that I couldn't find. I've been going through Odyssey, through library. There's lots of explanations about the technicalities of library, but that is the one question I ended up asking myself. How much gigabytes can you send per second? As a geek, you know, this is one thing I need to know. Thomas says, we have our CDN-like system, and then on top of it, we're experimenting with third-party CDNs that are easily interchangeable. See, that is what's so fascinating, because I'm an old man of the internet, okay? I was just uploading manually HTML files back in 1995, just creating my little structures and stuff. But the modern web is fascinating, because there's this whole concept of the CDN, which is basically becoming the main system for serving content on the internet. They are edge servers that don't even understand the web in the same way as the central servers do. They hold contents in buffers and they release it at different places of the planet. It's fascinating what's happening with the web. And Thomas here is reassuring us that he has his own CDN-like system. Wow. Wow, I'd like to know more details about this. This is fascinating, guys. I'm going off. This is the end of the show. Thank you so much for being here tonight, everyone, and I will see you all tomorrow. Oh, and just for the record, because I started the outro, but Thomas sent us further info. He says, recently our max was 60 Gbps for static video, and live is around 3 to 6 Gbps. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. I'm almost crying. I'm crying at imagining 60 Gbps. Of data just outflowing from a place. That's beautiful.